You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Hey, brand builders. Before we start this week's show, just a reminder that this podcast is brought to you by the industry-leading Social Brand Forum. This premier digital marketing experience takes place on October 15th through the 16th at the historic Engler Theater in beautiful downtown Iowa City, Iowa. We bring the best marketing thought leaders like Mitch Joel, Mark Schaefer, and Amber Naslund to the heart of the heartland for a two-day event to help you take your brand's digital marketing from good to great. Podcast listeners get the best rate by using promo code ONBRAND. Learn more and register now at socialbrandforum.com. Can't wait to see you there.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? Today, I'm joined by two very special friends of mine, Tim Hayden and DJ Waldo. With more than 20 years of marketing and business leadership experience, Tim Hayden has been a founder of new ventures such as Nion Interactive, Gameplan, and 44 Doors, and a catalyst for innovative change within some of the world's largest brands. Along with past guest Tom Webster, he's the co-author of The Mobile Commerce Revolution. DJ Waldo is an alumnus of the University of Michigan. I'm contractually bound to say go blue, as his bio notes. A knowledge craver, a sponge, and a lover of beer, coffee, and people. He's also a seasoned digital marketing pro with a career that's taken him from Bronto to Blue Sky Factory to Marketo. With Jason Falls, he's also co-author of The Rebel's Guide to Email Marketing. DJ was also my co-host on my first podcasting venture, The Work Talk Show. Tim and DJ have recently joined forces to lead marketing and brand building at Zignal Labs, serving as VP of Marketing and Director of Marketing, respectively. Zignal Labs is a real-time, cross-media story-tracking platform that enables brands to quickly spot trends, see relevant stories unfold, and take action. Brands who use the Zignal Labs platform include Bacardi, Citrix, and HP. Those interested in Zignal can learn firsthand at the Social Brand Forum this October here in Iowa City, Iowa, where Zignal joins us as a sponsor of the event. Tim and DJ will be on hand to share real-time insights from the event and beyond. But right now, they're here joining us today. Tim, DJ, welcome to On Brand.
Howdy, Nick. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Nick. And to be clear, I still have to clear that that October trip with my wife. But
we said it on a podcast. It's reality now.
Should I just play this for her and say, it's happening?
It would create a PR problem if we said something on a podcast and then it turned out to not be true. So you have to, in the name of Zignal PR, uphold that very extreme obligation that you just made on the On Brand podcast.
I appreciate you making it public, and you've helped my cause.
Exactly. And just to take the heat off of you, Nick, I'm periscoping this entire event right now. So she may already know.
I was going to say, it's out there. It's out there. It is. It's in the zeitgeist. It is one of those real-time insights of which you track at Zignal Labs.
I think it just popped up on a dashboard.
There we go. See, it's you just show some reports, and that's all the proof to come to Iowa that one would need.
If even.
So, gentlemen, DJ, did you do, speaking of insights, this not being a Zignal Labs insight, I believe beforehand you did a time hop on the day of which that we're recording this, that we were actually all speaking a year ago on the Work Talk Show. Is that true, or is that creepy internet skullduggery?
Yeah, no, I think it was either a year ago or 2 years ago.
But I think it was 2 years.
Yeah, it might have been two years ago. Okay. Yeah, Tim was our guest on the Work Talk Show, and so yeah, it's you know, that's one of the things I love about Time Hop is going back and seeing, I mean, it's, you know, that's maybe another story for another day, but I love, you know, for me, it's kind of my morning routine now where I go through and I just reconnect with people. I mean, I sent a text to CC Chapman, our mutual friend today, who I haven't heard from in 6 to 8 months because he was in my Time Hop about something he did 3 years ago. And
yeah.
It's just a neat, you know, I mean, Tim and I do this back and forth all the time too. And Nick, with you even, I mean, I joked with you, you were all over my Time Hop today for various things we've done over the years on this date in history. So it's just a neat thing. I think, you know, if you want, I could segue that into a brand story if you'd like, but,
or perhaps even a way that the Signal platform is not always just real time. It's also there for historical purposes as well.
There you go. See, this is why our VP of marketing is here as well.
So, you know, I did kind of my, I went and kind of zombied together a bio, one bio to rule them all out of the official Tim Hayden bio, the DJ Waldo bio, and the Signal about page. But for someone speaking real human, if you will, what's kind of the elevator pitch for those that don't know about Signal Labs that should?
Well, quite simply, I think as you've already stated, we deem it a real-time cross-media story tracking platform or a real-time cross-media analytics platform. From Signal Labs, you have access, really the only source of its kind, the only platform of its kind, the ability to ingest millions of data sources across online news, social media, broadcast, traditional, including print. We get to see things as they happen in the media, and then we not only ingest it, but we calculate it and we display it with, dare I say, some very impressive dashboards and reporting tools. So the idea of real-time access to data is only usable, and we make sure of that here at Signal, is if the platform allows you to weave it into your workflow. So that's really the second half of the Signal story is we have a tremendous amount of people in corporate communications, in public relations, politics, brand development, market research, who are looking for the ability to really surgically remove and filter insights and understand what's happening in the world. And that's it in a nutshell. I think there are many other things that we're doing for other customers, but if you line 10 of them up, 9 of them would tell you a story like that.
And Nick, just to be clear, I know you asked for an elevator pitch, and in our world, you know, we tend to have offices on skyscrapers and high floors. So you just took a long ride with us to the top.
I was going to say I'm broadcasting from my home office, so it would be no elevator to speak of. But it's interesting because you talked about it only being usable. Or valuable if it's usable and integrated into the workflow. And I think that's, you know, I think a lot of people hear real time and they think about, you know, we've got, you know, fire hose illusions abound. But, you know, do you have an example that you can share of how that has been integrated into workflows in terms of something that you can make real, you know, decisions based on that intel?
Yeah, so I can give you a couple examples, and I'll try to do the one that's most relevant to this podcast audience around branding. You know, we work with one of our customers is Diamond Foods, and Diamond Foods was testing out some of their new chips. And one of their brands is Kettle, and they were trying to determine which chip, you know, their new chip, whether or not it was going to resonate with different audiences across the country. So they were able to essentially do market research using our platform and seeing what people were saying about that new chip, and ultimately leading to the decision that that chip was going to continue to be produced or not. And, you know, imagine, you know, in years past, or even somebody not using a platform like Signal Labs, you'd have to have, a whole SWAT team on the ground figuring out, focus groups and all these things, right?
Yeah.
And you're seeing what people are saying in real time. And, you know, listen, we know people, especially with social media, people share and share and share and share. And just media in general, I mean, stories are written nearly real time, right? Live blogging, all this stuff is happening, people are talking about it, and Diamond Foods is able to use that data. That's just, you know, it's just one example from a brand side, but you know, it happens in real time. I mean, I think we have to remember the world is, it's crazy to think that the world could move faster than it already did. It already does. But, you know, you got things like Periscope and Meerkat now where people are seeing things literally as they're happening. You know, and our platform helps all sorts of companies, especially brands, too, do that.
Stay ahead.
Stay ahead. Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
Well, it's interesting. You talk about the market research application, too. And I think that that's one thing that, you know, with, you know, any form of social media, I've always talked about, now you don't have to have a focus group. But at the same time, I still think there's huge room for improvement because you have to get better than just, you know, we asked some folks on Facebook in terms of like getting good intel. You know, I mean, so where does this fit in kind of the larger picture of what social research, what social market research could look like?
Well, I think, you know, DJ covered it there with the example of Diamond Foods. And you know, we have certain ways that you can track in real time and historically what your share of voice is within a particular market or industry, within a particular geographic area. And I want to be quick to say, Nick, that no, we're not here to say that market research in its legacy form, including focus groups and surveys and the like, those type of tactics are certainly not dead. But what we are saying is that when you want to be able to leverage a much more precise and accurate view of how you, your competition, your industry, your customers, the way that media is impacting other media and the behavior of people, there is a certain leg up that we're able to provide to folks here at Zignal Labs. And I think I said earlier, corporate communications and public relations, we do have so many customers now that are starting to use it for market research, for influencer identification, and overall trying to give them some advantage in doing their job. So not replacing everything they do or being a magic bullet by any means, but certainly giving them an advantage and a boost to the speed at which they make decisions.
You know, and beyond corporate communications, you've talked too on use in the political realm. And I think that, you know, with where we're at right now, it's a great backdrop, I think, to demonstrate a platform like this. And you actually, Zignal, made some headlines with some of those insights on the Trump candidacy. And could you detail for those that might not have seen kind of what that, you know, what some of those insights were there that you found?
Yeah, so, you know, our company's founder, one of our founders, Josh Ginsburg, his background is in politics. I mean, he's been in politics his whole life. He worked on the Schwarzenegger campaign and the Mitt Romney campaign. And in fact, one of the reasons Zignal Labs is what it is today was because, you know, Josh saw a need to be able to see all this data that and conversation that's happening around the political sphere in real time. And so, you know, we certainly are bigger than politics today, but that's the core to, that's sort of the roots of where we came from. And as far as the Trump stuff, you know, we've been tracking the election. You know, we have in our world, we call it a build or a campaign, if you will, that tracks what's happening with all the candidates. So, you know, it's interesting to see as they announced what happened and certainly as Trump came, he really changed the course of the conversation. But the big thing from here and where we started to get a lot of press around it was we partnered with the George Washington University School of Political Science.
Management.
Political Management.
Thank
you. I was looking to Tim as I was saying that to make sure I got it right. School of Political Management. And they worked on something called the Peoria Project. And what that means is they're basically taking our data, using our platform, and doing analysis after the fact. So sort of imagine taking away the real-time element of it and saying, well, what actually happened? And you know, does Trump, the fact that Trump had twice as many social media mentions as any other candidate, does that really matter? Does that mean he's going to win the election? And so they're doing analysis around that. That's just one example with Trump. But also they're doing something called the echo. So what happens, for example, after a candidate announces, obviously there's going to be a big bump in mentions and a big, you know, share of voice will increase. But is that just a shot in the arm, a one-time thing, or is it sustainable? Does it last over time? And you know, for different candidates, they're seeing different things. So we're you know, partnering with them, and it's incredible the research that they're doing and insights that they're pulling out using the Zynga Labs platform.
And I'll only add to that, Nick, real quick. It's you understand when we talk about echo and resonance, it is the message sticking? Is there really support? Is there a veritable amount of support for the candidates based on the volume of noise they're putting out there right now with their campaigns? And that same thing is what so many of our customers are using to gauge the impact that perhaps a earnings report on a national television show or a national advertising campaign, the impact that's having on everything from web traffic to the volume of conversation about their brands and social media. So it's been amazing for us to see a great data science and data analyst team there at George Washington University to see how they can work with our platform. And it becomes a formidable use case for many of our non-political customers.
Well, the politics thing is interesting because I find it, I'm a political junkie. I just like following it. But I also think from a brand perspective that there are things to learn. And I was trying to think, as you talked about, you know, it being some of the same questions that brands are looking for. And I mean, first aside would be that I think, you know, all politicians, you know, we're all talking about brands here too. They're just a little bit different. But I'm trying to think of what kind of some of the mechanics there that make some of those lessons generalizable. I mean, they're still trying to appeal to people. They still need action to be taken. And I almost think that because of the time-bound nature of it, there's something that, I mean, like, you know, you look at, you know, playing with new media and trying things out with new formats, new social networks there. It's almost like this, you know, quick cycle that's kind of this snapshot of where we are right now. And, you know, of course, I'm sure there's something with all of the money in it to try all of these things out. But I do think it's an interesting proving ground for brands that there's lessons that you can, you know, grab a hold of and see what's working there and drop into, you know, a traditional brand or business context.
You know, Nick, I was just going to say real quick, if things don't work out for you at Brand Driven Digital, if, you know, for some reason it doesn't work out, you are more than welcome to join our marketing team, because you literally just hit the nail on the head of what we've been talking about and we've been trying to preach as much as we can. Yeah. I mean, this idea of running your business like a political campaign, and I know Tim's chomping at the bit to add
You know, it's been funny, you know, and Nick, you know me from so much of the work I've done in the mobile space, and it always made me laugh when people would talk about the processing power that's in your smartphone is equivalent to the first space shuttle's computer when it went up. So NASA tested this technology for you. Well, guess what? I mean, politics is doing the same thing. It seems that we've had the shiny object listening platforms and content management platforms in the brand world for years, and suspectedly that wasn't available in politics. And the truth is that politics already moved at a much faster speed. Politics and the way government is run, not in the way that bills are passed, not in the way that legislation goes down, but in the way communication happens on the Hill and between state offices. It's always real-time word of mouth. It is there, more prevalent than anywhere else on the planet, much more than a high school cafeteria. And what happens is that same way that we are able to work with politics and people that are in that field, it stretches the boundaries on a piece of technology that becomes very usable, almost over-engineered at times for some of our customers, but that just means that they can't break it. It just means that no matter how much a customer such as IBM or Pepsi is doing what they're doing right now, they're still not putting up the speed that Donald Trump is doing right now. So we're learning a whole lot on how various media may impact the others. You know, print media, to be able to get an attribution models to understand that a newsletter that went out in Des Moines, Iowa, ended up in an investigative television report on the 10 o'clock news in Chicago, and some big blogger picked it up. Many tools out there would give all the attribution to the blogger when, in fact, you want to know that there are other sources and other people you need to interact with. So that's trying to filter it down for you in a plausible hypothetical on what this means for brands today.
Well, you talk about the echo and resonance and things getting through. And I mean, the Trump question to me seems incredibly applicable to brands because, you know, you think about, you know, is all of the awareness and attention, does that convert into, you know, in a product business focus? Is someone going to buy the thing? Is all of the attention that a, you know, GoDaddy gets from an outrageous Super Bowl commercial, is it good attention that converts into the desired action? Or is it just noise? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, Nick, it's interesting. We can, you know, link it up in the show notes.
There you go. We have the technology to do that.
Yes, I love it.
Hyperlinks are here.
Yes, hot links. We wrote a blog post on the day of the GOP debates, and some of the analysis one of our sales engineers did, Matthias Reynolds, was around how much, what share of voice each of the 10 people who got to go on stage that day had, and then compared that number to who got to go on stage. So I didn't say that really clearly, but in other words, the 10 people that were on stage that day were the 10 people who had the highest poll ratings, right? Over a series of 3 to 5 different
Fox
polls from Fox, right? And so we compared those numbers. And again, this isn't super scientific, but we compared that to the total number of mentions that each candidate had over that same time period, and it was surprisingly similar. I think there was maybe 2 or 3 of the candidates. There's one that wouldn't have been in there that was, and vice versa, and then a couple swapped out from the 7th position to the 8th position. But for the most part, the top 5 were pretty much the same. And so,
looking in the same time period, looking head to head and share a voice, and then being able to derive some substantiation on who may have the merit and be warranted to stand up there for that debate or just the general debate at large.
And you know, our mutual friend Tom Webster would certainly, if he was here, would say that it's not causation, but it may be correlation of some sort. And to your point, does that translate into, you know, right now, is Trump going to win the nomination?
Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
I think Tim just stopped me, by the way, from saying something political. I'm making a comment.
Well, yeah. I mean, I do think it's, you know, because I think sometimes, you know, people unfairly, I mean, like I said, I like politics, but I think for those that don't, they kind of roll their eyes and think, that's the last thing I want to hear about. But I think that there's some really, really important lessons. And you mentioned your debate coverage, and I would echo that plug there as well, that as these go on, I would imagine, you know, if you're looking to help make that connection between things that are happening, the political arena, and, you know, that, you know, real-time listening insights, I would, you know, follow what Zignal's doing, your blog posts, what you've been covering the previous debates as well, because it's a great way to do that. And I will hyperlink up to that post in the show notes here. You know, you talked about, I think when you began this, that line of discussion, you talked about, you know, your background as, you know, being kind of, I think what I wrote down here was Mr. Mobile. And, you know, I think some could think, wait, Tim's the mobile guy. What's he doing there? But to me, this all all kind of adds up in a way. So how do all of these pieces, I mean, it's always funny, I think, where you, this is the old podcast in me returning DJ, but where one ends up is sometimes almost exactly where you're supposed to. But in terms of, you know, the mobile piece of things, and I guess piece is probably a misnomer, as you'll tell me, but to the real-time arena, what's that progression been like? How do you tell that story?
Well, you know, I personally have been an advisor. I've been a friend of some people on the founding team, and I have been an advisor to the company for about a year, and I've always been fascinated by real-time insights because talk about causation. It is the reality of a interconnected everyone, you know, ubiquitous universal connectivity that mobile has caused, that mobile has empowered for the whole entire planet, that has us in this situation where data is coming from everywhere and it's moving so fast. You want to be able to wrangle it. You want to be able to wrap your head around it. I mean, I quickly say, you know, as a mobile strategist, many times people came to me and said, I want to talk about a mobile app, or should we have a text messaging strategy? And I would say, you know, let's get back to what your CRM and your marketing automation are, because the things aren't going to work on the devices unless they're working at the center in the cloud or with the integrated systems you have. And Signal's in a wonderful position. And it's one of the great reasons that I'm here, and I moved my family out here, and was happy to join this team with DJ. To me, we can help organizations and brands make sense of all the noise and that which is critical because of a very crowded and interconnected and interwired world, albeit wireless, albeit mobile. And I think that's it's the top of the funnel. It's not apps and text messaging per se, but I'm now kind of seeing everything from high above it. And it's certainly related.
Well, we've got all, like you said, the mobile caused this, and we've got kind of this situation, this zeitgeist that's whipped up, that the bigger question now is making sense of it, I think.
Yes.
So, DJ, also, you know, as I was asking that question, I thought, you know, you've got Mr. Mobile, and you've also got Mr. Email. Those should be like license plates or T-shirts or something.
Who says they're not?
I mean, don't you send your guests all T-shirts?
I do. Yes. Okay, yes. So. T-shirts and license plates. I go to that trouble of working. It's the most thought out, complex gift for show guests is having those custom license plates made that are street legal. So, DJ, with you being Mr. Email, how does that fit in, too? Because I think, you know, you can make the mobile connection, but I also, I'm bullish on email. I love email. Where does it fit into a real-time zeitgeist?
See, I thought you were going somewhere else with that, but let me answer that first question, and then since we're talking about politics, I'll answer whatever question I want to answer.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think, you know, I thought you were going to ask me the same question about, you know, making the transition from, like you with Tim Mobile to Signal. So let me actually answer that first, because that's kind of where my head was going. But making the transition from email to what we're doing here at Signal Labs, I mean, to me, I am 100% with you. I still think email has as much, if not more, power than it's ever had to get directly in front of somebody in their inbox, in their face, in their space. Is extremely, extremely powerful. And as Jeff Pulver said years ago, and Chris Penn and Chris Brogan preach, you know, database, database, database. That being said, for me personally, email just is moving too slow. The innovation of email and email marketing is too slow. I mean, at the end of the day, you are still sending an email to a group of people and hoping that they open, they click, and take some action. What's exciting for me about what we're doing here at Signal Labs is, I mean, the nimbleness, the agility, the, you know, sounds cliche again, keep saying real time, but things are happening so fast here, not only at Signal Labs, but in the space and in the world, that's exciting to me. I mean, every day is different. I don't just mean in this office and in this environment, but in the world, every day is different and things are moving faster and faster and faster. And I think it's just so neat to be a part of that. To go back to kind of your other question around where does email fit into this? I think what it allows you to do is the more, you know, just like any other marketing you do, the more you know about your audience, the more you can target, right? So imagine, let's go back to the Diamond Foods case, for example. I'm not saying they did this, but they could have called together all the different people who were saying great things about them, found out who they were on Twitter, found email addresses, pulled them in, and sent a targeted campaign to them. So there are different ways to do that. I mean, that's not necessarily today how people are using our platform, but I think email could certainly play a critical role. And by the way, you've given me a feature request idea now to share with our team.
Well, you know, that's as I think about that, you know, what's the one thing that people, if they're not thinking about real time in connection with their brand, what's the hook if you know, someone, we're off the elevator now, someone's walking away and they say, it's not for us. We do XYZ. We can't get our arms around that. What's the hook that brings them back in to real time?
Well, I think it's real time with the accuracy. And go back to workflow, the simplicity of running reports, and the visualization of data. I mean, if we understand to make informed decisions for a team or for you to, as we say, relegate or escalate what's happening in the world, you can't do that with an Excel spreadsheet. And we like to believe that we are out in front right now. We are certainly replacing other systems, other tools that people have used to monitor the media and really quantify what's happening in the world with their own brand even. And so much of that has to do with not just real-time access to data, but your ability to work more efficiently, to get more hours in your day to do what you were hired to do. So we see that, and sometimes that starts with there was a spike in mentions about us and we needed the real-time capacity. They come back for that. There's other times where they say, hey, there are things we're just not seeing or we're finding out 4 days later by using another system. And that has to do with our data relationships. That has to do with the integrity of what it is we are ingesting in the system and visualizing for people to make those informed decisions through reports and visualization.
Yeah, I mean, because to me, it almost seems like we really have a mining problem today. That being that there's rich with insights that are out there, but they're not accessible. They're not easy for the layperson to get at. Or if they do, like you said, you're getting something after the fact. And that's, you know, hardly easy to get at and hardly something that you can make a decision out of either.
And Nick, I was thinking about this on my train ride in the other day. You know, if you think about, years ago to the way the world is today around media, I mean, I think about, even newspapers. So let's start with newspapers, for example. Newspapers, I get the Sunday San Francisco Chronicle, and this literally just happened because we were in the Chronicle last week, and the article posted on Saturday night. So I read the article Saturday night online, and I read four other articles. When the newspaper showed up at our door the next day, my wife said, why aren't you reading the paper? We usually read the paper with coffee. I said, because I already read it. It was online. I already read literally half of the articles are in this paper. So still in that case, that's the newspaper is yesterday's news. You get closer to real time when you've got online stuff, right? So that article was written about us and it was insightful and it was a great article and good press for us. But even that article was not real time. It already happened. And then kind of fast forward to news. I think about, CNN, for example, or any network now. It's breaking news, right? And they'll share a story as it's happening. But I would argue still, it's not really as it's happening because it's already happened and they're reporting on it. And so I think the power of Signal Labs to me is that we really can see what is happening as it's happening, And, you know, sort of like our tagline says, it allows you to stay ahead. It allows you to be ahead of what is happening in the world. And to me, that's the most exciting thing about real time is that, you know, you've got insight before anybody else does because it's as it's happening.
So are there any, in thinking about this and thinking about that real-time intelligence, we're talking about a lot of things that you can use to make better decisions, make course corrections. Is there anything on the brand building, brand development side that's been used at the other end? Because I would also think you could that blank page that you start with in developing a business, developing a brand, could end up a lot less blank with insights on it.
Yeah, DJ had talked earlier about looking at the perception that someone may have of a brand, your ability to look at the competitive set and the market you are launching into, the market that you are already in. If you want to be able to identify influencers, if you want to be able to identify what makes people tick when they talk about those specific brands or services, products that help identify who you are, who your brand is in your space, that's where you can start to understand. That's where you can start to understand that there are the insights for which you seek, those which you have prescribed to go out and look for, but there's the discovery. I didn't mean to overly talk about any feature of the platform, but we have word clouds as part of our system, and the word clouds themselves, there are those which can be almost dynamic reports, static reports that you can click on words, specific words in those word clouds and understand the conversations behind them. Why are they showing up in the color that they are and the size that they are? We have real-time word clouds that allow you to see that conversation change over time. And that is a much easier way for people to understand what's happening than watching a news feed fly by, than just quantifying how a particular tweet was retweeted 200 times. Understand quickly from a contextual standpoint and from the semantic standpoint. Why are people talking about things the way they are, favorably or critically or just plain loud? I think there are ways that you can build your own insights, whether you're selling Little Red Wagons, pizza, or computers. There are ways to kind of just look at what's happening all around you to be able to derive insights that become actionable for you.
Little Red Wagons.
I've got two of them.
Okay. I
Tim knows about my new startup that is Little Red Wagon focused.
That's right.
So, but in thinking about how all this is visualized, it makes me think about, you know, what folks will be able to see at the Social Brand Forum here. Can you give a sneak peek on some of the types of things that you'll be able to show folks on the ground here in Iowa this October?
Absolutely, Nick. We will have a smaller, what we call mobile version of our Command Center product, and that will be a number of 60-inch screens that will have data visualized on them, probably from the event, the hashtags, the mentions of Social Brand Forum, and the audience that's there, from the speakers to the attendees. We'll have some visualizations there, as well as probably bringing some of our standard builds, maybe just as we've discussed on this podcast, our presidential contender build. That's always fun to watch. Who knows what will be said? And Iowa is one of those places
right.
where there are a lot of folks who influence the outcome of an election, primaries at least. So there's that, and I think you know what we've worked at with you is if we're doing this, if we can tell you who's being the loudest, who's being the most influential there at Social Brand Forum. Well, heck, we're going to get on stage and throw a T-shirt out to them and show everybody's why and how we calculated that and do that in short order.
You heard it here first. Be noisy at Social Brand 15 and a Zignal Labs T-shirt could. be yours. Well, as we start to wrap up, I always ask our guests, who's a brand that has made you smile recently?
So in the, I'll leave this one off because, you know, we've talked a lot about real time, and 6 minutes ago, I received an email from one of my favorite brands. I'm going to read the beginning of this to you. So the brand is Eat24. I'm not sure. I think they're mostly San Francisco. Maybe they're, I don't know if they're.
They're a Yelp company.
Oh, they're Yelp now. That's right. They got bought by Yelp. Okay. So they send an email out every Friday. I'm not a fan of the subject line because it's somewhat boring. Your weekend coupon. But that's the only that's the only boring part about this message. I'm just going to read you the beginning of it so as not to bore you with everything. But so it says, summer is pretty much over, and you know what that means? Salad. After 3 glorious months of ice cream, cookies, cheesecake, deep-fried waffle sprinkle sundaes, we need some leafy greens with ranch. Lots of ranch. Luckily, our totally ripped app has a healthy filter which lets you sort out delicious green things, et cetera, et cetera. The coupon code is salad24. They have a thing at the bottom that says, want another coupon? No problem. Just tweet this code and we'll hook you up. So they have a tweet. And then it's signed, you're the balsamic to our vinegar. Love Eat24. And so even the fine print at the bottom of the email has an asterisk that says, and now here's a poem our lawyers wrote. You must be an Eat24 member to enjoy this coupon. And then at the end it says, okay, our lawyers didn't write that. So what's amazing about it to me, and it's not just their emails. I mean, their website, anytime they do an app update, their app updates are fun. I've interacted with them on chat before. By the way, they're a food ordering company. I should probably have said that, a service. And every aspect of what – I've had exchanges with them on Twitter before. Everything they do from a marketing and branding standpoint is – and you guys know, both know I'm big on this – is very, very human. And I think that's to me what makes them stand out.
And I can't help but be Bay Area focused with the brand I would present to you, Nick, and that is the Golden Gate Ferry Company. They basically that's how I get to and from the city. Living with my family over in Sausalito, I ride the ferry in the mornings, and I almost always ride it home. And to DJ's point, they just holistically, the ferry hands, the people that help you, guide you on and off the boat, the bartenders, the messaging they send you from text messages to email alerts about ferries running late, a boat being out of service, or that there's a Giants game. And of course, I think some people in California say this is not good news because of the drought, but just the nice, not stuck in traffic reality of commuting to and from the city across a sun-filled San Francisco Bay, brought to you by none other than the Golden Gate Ferries. I think they get it, and it certainly gets my head in the right place. It makes me happy, and that was the question you asked.
I was going to say that was a perfect. You produced the exact response. It literally made you smile. Well, awesome. Well, guys, where can folks go? I think it's probably a pretty obvious answer to learn more about Zygna Labs.
So you could, if you would like a demo, since you already know all about Zygna Labs, you could go to zygnalabs.com/onbrand. And yeah, by the time this goes live, that will be live too. and you could fill out a demo request form, and I don't know, maybe even put a picture of you, Nick, up on that landing page so they make sure they know they're in the right place. But they go there and fill out a demo request form, and somebody on our team, a real human, will get back to them and show them the power of the Zygna platform.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in the show notes. Guys, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks for having us on brand, Nick.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our listeners. A big shout out to the folks over at Kogan Page Management, a publisher who has produced several great marketing books out there by some of our past guests, including Daniel Rolls, JP Coolvine, and more. Thanks, Kogan, for all the tweets this past week. And a reminder, if you heard something that you liked on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, be sure to use the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. Last but not least, you can find links to everything that we've talked about, including that very cool Zygna Labs demo, over at our show notes, which you can find at branddrivendigital.com. You can also subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Speaking of iTunes, help others out. Help them find the show. Leave us a quick rating, review. Let us know what you think. And don't forget that this podcast is brought to you by the industry-leading social brand forum. Save $100 by using promo code ONBRAND when you register over at socialbrandforum.com. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.